Even with thanksgiving, I'll be
a living
sanctuary for you, Lord. Lift up your hand and sing it with thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving,
I will be a sanctuary
for you.
Hallelujah. Tell God to sanctify you for your assignment as a leader in this commission. Father, sanctify me, make me prepared, get me set, purify me as gold, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. And all of us shall say loud amen.
Amen.
Please get seated. And if you can, give God a big hand again. For the wonderful response to the various questions being asked, which has been anchored by our Vice President, Mission Inspectorate Services, Bishop Thomas Aremu, let's give Jesus a big hand. We have room for more questions. The studio had earlier helped us to display the address of where to direct our questions. Please feel free to ask any further question. It's an open system, and we'll do our best to respond accordingly. And the Lord bless you as you do so, in Jesus' name. On the behalf of God's servant, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo, whom we represent here in this Leadership Empowerment Summit, Bishop Thomas Aremu and myself would like to bring to all of us at our different levels of leadership across the globe, here in Faith Tabernacle and where we are fully connected, and we ask for God's reward upon your lives for the various commitment you are demonstrating to the house of the Lord. God who sees you in the secret shall bless you in the open. Say loud amen to that. In the wonderful name of Jesus. This afternoon we'll be taking another paper. Remember what we did yesterday was on loyalty and followership. And at this moment, we're looking at integrity and open accountability. Integrity. Somebody say that with me. And what? Open accountability. The subject of integrity is fast fading in the church today. People don't mind how they live as much as what they do. For what you do, you need reputation. That is painting a picture of yourself the way you want people to see you. But for who you are, you need integrity. There's a difference between who you are and what you do. Just anybody can do anything. But acceptability before God and people depends on integrity. You know, people can applaud you for doing what is wrong. We have a lot of that going on in the world today. People can applaud you for over what is wrong. So don't make a mistake that people are clapping for you or even commending you. Commendation is not the same as approval. By the world standard, you may be commended. But by God's standard, you may be disapproved. Integrity is not an option, but a necessity as far as church leadership is concerned. Painting an image of yourself is different from God seeing you as you are. I know, as it is, especially with women who do a lot of makeup. At night, you wash off your makeup. Am I right? As some women give me some witness here. At night, after you have cleaned up your makeup, everybody now see you the way you are. That's integrity. Integrity is people seeing you the way you are. Reputation is painting yourself the way you want people to see you. Makeup, basically or essentially, is to make you look good, look attractive. But integrity is who you are. And it's better for you to promote integrity than reputation. Because someday you will wash off your face and people will say, oh, so this is how you are. The honor, dignity, and sustainability of impact depends largely on your standard of leadership. Integrity is the measure of standard of leadership. Integrity is the measure, is the standard, the measure of standard of your leadership. So no matter how much anointing you have, or oratory powers, or motivation that you carry, your charisma, without integrity, it amounts to zero. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. I mean, there are people today, when they speak, you almost lick their lip. But inside is rottenness. And interestingly, we have had that even among our leaders, including pastors and elders and all of that. People you never imagine, certain things can be done by their hands. They look very applausible. Very applausible. But have no integrity. If you lose integrity, you have lost your leadership. Integrity is the backbone of leadership. Sustainable leadership relies solely on integrity. Sustainable in leadership relies solely on integrity. Great man of God of blessed memory, Dr. Billy Graham, a generational leader, said, if you lose money, you have lost nothing. If you lose your health, you have lost something. But if you lose your character, you have lost everything. So character is everything about man. Character is everything about a leader in the church setting, beginning from cell leader, service unit leader, and every level of leadership. In this kingdom, there is no criteria for leadership that does not center on integrity. In this kingdom, number one requirement at all times, whether in the Old or the New Testament, for appointing leaders is integrity. Men of truth. Integrity. Integrity. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4, all the way to 7. after Solomon took over from his father David. Hear what God told him. If thou will walk before me as David your father walked, how? In integrity of heart. Say with me, integrity of heart. Now you can see from that passage that integrity has to do with the heart, not the look. Integrity of heart. And in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgment. Verse 5. All the way to verse 7. Then I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever. That is, if you continue to live in integrity, stability will be the result. As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. So you can read all of that at your time. Walk before me in integrity. Now, what is integrity? We'll do 3-4 definitions and we move forward. Number one, integrity is a state of being truthful and sincere. Truthful. Truthful. That is, you are full of truth. You are not deceitful. You are not an evil schemer. You are full of truth. Not deception. Not coloring anything. And sincerity. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 15. Joshua 24, 14 to 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Sincerity and truth. That's integrity. Number two. Integrity is honesty, straightforwardness. In handling the affairs of life and of the church. Colossians chapter 3 verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, saying that he have put off the old man with his deeds. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. Talking about handling the word of the Lord. But I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. And handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Jesus taught us in Matthew 5:37, let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. You don't have to swear about anything if you're a man of integrity. Yea is yea, nay is yea. Let your communication or your relationship or your dealing with people be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this, commit of evil. Number three, integrity is an expression of one's character. It has nothing to do with facial expression, but a character expression. Remember the difference between reputation and integrity. How people eventually see you is important. Someone says, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. You better care. You better care. They can say anything they like about me. Ask yourself, what they are saying about you, are there some elements of truth in it? Some of the questions been answered has to do with pure lifestyle of integrity. Lifestyle of integrity. I tell pastors who have problem with their church leaders and congregation, you better check yourself. Because we have been here longer than you. My co-laborer is here, Bishop Thomas Aremon, has been pastoring for several decades, just as my humble self. Why are people not complaining about us? Transparency, openness. We allow people to ask us questions. There are some leaders that operate like idols. Nobody ever make comments. Nobody ever ask questions. He will curse you by the anointing. And in fact, some people even ask, can you ask Bishop Oedipo that question? Equating themselves with a higher authority. They love power. People have asked me questions. People have written me face to face. And we sit them down, we discuss with them. Tell them what it is like. That's integrity. Nothing to hide. Naked before everybody. So at any level of leadership where you are, don't ask people why are they asking you questions. They should ask you. The disciples of Jesus asked him questions. And he answered them. Jesus never abused his disciples once. Including Thomas, who was asking some very wonderful questions from him. Amen. Not our Thomas here anyway. Amen. He's a believing Thomas. I've watched him over the years. Amen. So, integrity. Don't say what people say. I don't care what they say. You better care what people say about you. Not that you are trying to impress people, but you are living before God and before people. Like Paul said, you know, showing our conscience, or rather showing ourselves to the conscience of people around us. What if what people are saying about you is right? You should examine yourself. Number four definition of integrity, to round it up as an explanation, integrity is a preserver of destiny. Now, integrity goes beyond your assignment. It is your life. Proverbs 11:3. Integrity is not a tool. Integrity is your life. It's your life. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Can you see that? If you fail to live a life of integrity, you are heading for destruction. So may God forbid. Integrity preserves destiny and posterity. So integrity is not a gift to be imparted, but a virtue to be developed. It's a virtue to be developed. Now, we have the gift of the Spirit and we have the fruit of the Spirit. You need the gift of the Spirit to walk. But you need the fruit of the Spirit for your walk to be acceptable. For your walk to be sustainable, you need the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what integrity represents. Integrity is all about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, patience, joy, faith, forbearance, endurance. You need the fruit of the Spirit. You need integrity to sustain the work you are doing. Now, for benefit of doubt, why must we live a life of integrity? As mentioned earlier, number one, it is destiny preserver. Nothing preserves destiny more than integrity. Number two, your integrity gives value and credence to your leadership. Value and credence to your leadership. The number one thing people want to see about you is your integrity. Your integrity. That's why when you do wrong, they say, oh, and he calls himself a leader. And he calls himself a leader. That is, there is a standard expected of you. It gives value and credence to your leadership. Now, example. Samuel was a man of integrity. 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 6, is being described as a man of honor. And chapter 12, verses 3 to 5, he stood up the whole of the tribe of Israel, made himself naked them before them. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you. And verse 14, verse 4 and verse 5. And the people said, you have not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And in verse 5, and he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, yes, God is witness. May each of us have this kind of testimony. Say loud, amen. And so, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible says, none of his words ever fell to the ground. None of his word ever fell to the ground. So, before God and the people you are leading, your integrity gives you value and credence. Number 3, why integrity? It is your integrity that keeps speaking for you after you have left a place. Integrity keeps speaking when you are no more, including when you depart from this world. Integrity. When you are no more in a place, your integrity is left there. And so people make reference to you. When so-so-so person was here, it doesn't used to be like this. Integrity makes you a reference point. You may not be there to defend yourself, but your integrity will always defend you. Say loud, amen. Say loud, amen. That's what integrity does. Many years ago, I was leaving a station, a church, for another place. Incidentally, it was Bishop Arum that took over from me then. Because of my long journeys, I wasn't there to do my handing over. My secretary did. Why? There's nothing hiding that I'm doing that he didn't know over the years that we worked together. Wardrobe is open. Files are open. Everything is open. When you find a leader who is carrying key all around, carrying box all around, there's something is hiding. Praise the Lord. Integrity is naked. Integrity is what? Naked. Integrity is naked. What are the areas where you need to exhibit integrity? Number one, in handling policy matters and documents. Handling policy matters. You don't interpret policies to suit you. You don't bend rules. Like we have it in many quarters in the government cycle today, things change depending on who is in power. And unfortunately, in many church settings today, the system of the world is being introduced. Integrity in handling policies, doing what is right. Doing what is right, not what suits you. When we were going to work on the mandate, the operational manual for this ministry, God's servant said, let us do this thing as if we are consultants, doing it for people who will come after us. Not personal interest. That's what integrity does. Working according to the rules. Complying with the policies. Not using people's face to determine what to do, but using documents to rule the system, to guide the system. Now take for instance the issue of discipline. You don't use who is involved in an issue to determine the judgment or to determine the punishment. No. There are rules. If you offend, they bring the book and show it to you, the policy. Please, can you read it yourself? And by the time you finish reading it, you know you are due for punishment. Amen. That's what we are talking about. I've had opportunity to sit across my table some very wonderful staff and hand over to them their letter of termination after talking with them and still have an handshake with them. Amen. You are blessed. You are blessed. The Lord go with you as you go. And tell them if you have any need for counsel, feel free. My line is open. You can call me and we counsel them. That's integrity. Working according to the rules. Somebody is due to be changed in statutory body. We are not looking at the faces. We are not looking for how long somebody has been in church. But does he fit into the policy criteria? Does he fit in there? If he doesn't fit, integrity. We'll call him and tell him, sir, this is the situation. And this is the reason why we are doing these changes. And then we move on. For instance, recently it was, said that no one above 60 will be an associate pastor in the church. It's a policy. Nobody's face is being looked at. And reasons have been derived from survey. Looking across the global system. Of course, like somebody asks a question, how do you retire somebody who is 60 when he's still strong? And you had the answer. How do you know that he's still strong? That's number one. And so there are certain blanket situations that are introduced because of the largeness of the system. We are running over 22,000 churches. How do you start to find out from one church to another, that man is 60? Is he still strong? No. So we handle these things as they should be handled. Say loud amen. And like we had, for full-time pastors, at 60 you get your retirement notice. Because you can't even tell some are eagerly waiting for the 60 to be retired to do other things they want to do. But if it is not left open, they may not know that they have opportunity to be out to do what they want to do without feeling guilty. So it's open. And if you want to apply for post-retirement services, why not? It's available. If you meet the condition. Because if a pastor doesn't perform well when he's a full-time pastor and he's 60, and now I say, okay, let's reconsider him. They say, why? He said, you see, he doesn't know what to do. How can you say he doesn't know what to do? And he's not performing. So on what criteria, on what basis are you going to keep him? He said, please now, please keep him. Even if it's for 2 years. After 2 years, he will still have to go. Praise the Lord. Now, what are we saying? Handling issues of policies and all of that in chosen cell leaders, in chosen zonal leaders, in chosen all levels leaders, in chosen service unit leaders. We are guided by policies. It's important to note that in any system, people who put together policies have considered several, as a matter of fact, numerous factors. Thinking of now and in the future. In the banking system now, for instance, you could stay there for 60 years before you retire in those days. But now, when they discover that you are 45 or 50, they give you your paper. And among reasons why they gave in some advice is that so that you can have opportunity to do several useful things in your life, which to me is a good idea. Before you become old and you don't know what to do again, so they help you out. Amen. So you can use the remaining useful years of your life to engage in things that will be profitable to you. Now, human beings don't like changes. They don't like changes. They want it to remain as it was before. Somebody wants to be chairman of church board for 12 years. First tenure, second tenure, and he applies to do it the third session. Some apply. Some write. Why can't I be considered to be chairman of Susu? So we must handle policy matters and all of that in all sincerity. Number two area where you will need to exhibit integrity is in your speech. Your words. Be a man of integrity. Your yea is yea. Nay is nay. Job 27 verse 4. Be a man of integrity in words and in deeds. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Psalm 101 verse 7. A liar shall not tarry in his presence. If you're a pastor, don't lie on the altar. Don't exaggerate testimonies. Say things the way they are. That's integrity in words. Number three way to exhibit our integrity is in record taking and record keeping. There are pastors who harass the church board, or rather the deacons board, who are in charge of taking attendance. The way I look at the attendance today, everywhere is filled. How can you bring this figure? I say, we are sorry, sir. So next Sunday, because they don't want to face his harassment, they give him a bloated figure. Integrity is affected. Now, why do we talk about attendance record as a church? One, to glorify God for increase, and two, to help us to plan for planning purposes. Financial plan, building plan, and several other plans. If the figures are not right, how are we going to do it? How can we plan for into the future? If the people doing head count bring the figure to the pastor, there is no point arguing. If you think they make error, there is no point shouting on anybody. Guide them right to do it. Even here, we have had God's servant, Bishop David Oedipo, talk about attendance issues. Even here in Kenaland, very challenging. Think about toilet area, for instance. You can find 100 people in the toilet. In one toilet. How do you count them? Movement here and there. So we just assume some things been done without making it an issue, but doing it in the integrity of our hearts. Say loud, amen. Another area of exhibiting integrity is in relationship with church members. Again, we saw the integrity of Paul the Apostle, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. He said, God is my witness, and you also, how I have walked unblameably, I've walked righteously before anyone and everyone. So integrity, as said earlier, is not explained but expressed. It's not explained but expressed. This takes us to the second part of this paper, which is open accountability. Integrity is expressed by open accountability. Open. Say with me, open. There is nothing secret about integrity. Open accountability. And that's the system we are running as a church. A system where other leaders can talk to the pastor. In the days of kings, this is how they run the system. You have kings, you have prophets, and you have priests. One day, a king misbehaved. He went to the altar to offer sacrifice, and the priest challenged him. It is not your right to do this. And when the king got angry with the people, God struck them with leprosy. It's an open system. And everybody needs to be guided. like they say, absolute power corrupt absolutely. May you never get to a stage in your life where nobody can challenge you. You didn't say amen to that? Amen. Nobody wants to be challenged. But you need to be challenged. Even in our homes, between husband and wife. If you are shutting down your wife all the time, she says something, come on, keep quiet there. I'm the head here. She makes suggestion, keep quiet. What concerns you here? The day you will fall, it will be flat fall. Flat fall. The whole essence of working together is to safeguard ourselves. To safeguard ourselves. We have great institutions here where you have the vice chancellor, you have the registrar. They work together in such a manner that the registrar should be able to call the attention of the chancellor that, look, this thing that you approved, we need to be very careful about it. And bring out the books and make reference to it. And the vice chancellor is humble enough to say, oh, that's true. The same thing for pastors. So we have statutory bodies. We have the church board. We even have what we call the pastors, POC. Pastorate Oversight Committee. The committee that oversees the operation of the pastor. And they send us reports on monthly basis. Direct questions as to how the pastor is doing. How is his message? Is he impactful or is he telling story on the altar? And if they send report 1, 2, 3 times that he's not doing well, he should get ready. We have left the age where you say, oh, I don't want to report our pastor. If your pastor is not doing well and you don't report, he will destroy the church before your eyes. Say amen, somebody. Amen. We have left the age of timidity. Of course, we are not saying people should hunt their pastors. No. No. Because we have been there before. And nobody hunted us. Because we are doing what is right. We call leaders. Discuss together. Share thoughts together. Ask them of their views. Are people who live in self-isolation. Nobody there asks him any question. Nobody makes any suggestion to him. Nobody shares ideas with him. He doesn't want to hear anybody saying something. He has no regard for other leaders. Not only in the pastorate, but we have some chairman of some statutory bodies who will not listen to anybody. He says, I'm chairman here. Nobody deputizes for him. When he travels, meeting cancelled. The system doesn't work like that. So, the integrity we're talking about is largely expressed in open accountability. Please say it with me again. If you love that, say it again. If that's the way you'll be living your life, say it one more time. Open accountability. Open accountability. There is no file there. Somebody cannot see my office. No. There is no room that somebody cannot enter in my room. And we have that in our leadership. At least somebody knows something. Please note here, we are not talking about leaving anything freely and carelessly. Confidentiality must be maintained, but secrecy should also be limited. Secrecy must be limited. Confidentiality. What you are saying is not to take everything you are doing to the open for everybody to see. But you have a few people in the leadership who knows what is going on. Not that they want something and until you come back they can't get it. So open accountability is the act of being transparent in your dealings. Being transparent in your dealings. Transparency. Nakedness. That's what Samuel did. That's what Paul did. And it paid for them. In leadership, you are not only accountable to God, but also to men. Not only to God, but also to men. Men at the top, men in the middle, men below you. That's what open accountability is. And please learn from this simple wisdom. If you succeed in carrying people along in your decisions, they will not withdraw from you when you are in the middle of the sea. No. But if you make a sole decision, you will call for them in the middle of the sea, OYO, on your own. On your own. That's the way we operate. My co-laborer here, Bishop Arimu, has his office. I have my office. But everything we do under our offices are on interaction. We are thinking of doing this. What do you think about it? We are thinking of doing this. What do you think about it? And then we make decisions together. Do you know that even Jesus consulted with disciples? Many of us don't know that. One day Jesus asked disciples, "What do men say of me? What do men say of me?" It mattered to him what his disciples say. One day he asked them, "When shall we get bread?" And the Bible says he asked them this question to prove them. He himself knew what to do. He knew what to do, but he still asked them to carry them along in the plan. To carry them along. As a cell leader, ask your assistant cell leader, "What do you think we should do to make this church go forward?" We have heard over and over again, God's servant here will call our leaders in the cell system and ask them, "What are your ideas for making the cells to grow?" And then harvest everything together and make it work. There is no individual that has custody of all knowledge and wisdom. No. There is no one who has full custody of knowledge and wisdom. That's why a leader does not mean you are no longer a learner. Every leader learns even from the led. Even from the led. Leadership actually is supposed to be central in harnessing the knowledge and wisdom of others. That's what good leaders do. They listen to people. They ask questions from people they are leading. Open accountability. Open accountability. Nothing hiding, nothing secret. Say loud amen. Make that amen stronger. Amen. Now, as we begin to round up, why open accountability? Number one, open accountability is necessary in the church because the church is not a cult. It's not a cult. There is nothing we are hiding. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 3 to 5. The church is not a cult. Pastor come, pastor goes. Statutory body members come and they go. You do your bit and move forward. Nobody will ever be in a place forever, no matter how long he lives. No. Leaders come, leaders go. But structure remains. Say loud amen. We must never allow any room for mafias in this church. People who feel that they are in charge. People who feel that except their view is being regarded, nobody will move forward. It's not any man's personal property. It's not a cult. No. Open accountability. That's what must be promoted. And that's what we promote in this ministry. That's the essence of bringing up the mandate. Number two, open accountability will help you to retain your stewardship with God. Remember Luke chapter 16 verse 1 and 2. A householder called his servant and said, come and make account of your stewardship. Come and make account of your stewardship. When you are no longer accountable, your stewardship will be terminated. Men may still put you there, but God has terminated you. That will not be your story. I say that will not be your story. Number three, why open accountability? Open accountability is the true measure of your faithfulness. Is the true measure of your faithfulness. You are deemed faithful for your openness. Luke 16, verses 10 to 12. And finally, how do you promote open accountability? How do you enhance it? Number one, operate in the fear of God. Operate in the fear of God. Fear God in anything you do. Be conscious of the fact that God is looking at you from where you are operating from. Walk in the fear of God. Number two, be spiritual. Be spiritual. Romans chapter 8 verse 6, be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Number three, reckon yourself as only a caretaker under supervision. You don't own the church. You are only a caretaker. You don't own the service group. You are only a caretaker. You don't own any of the statutory bodies. You are only a caretaker. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 and 2, as stewards of the word of life. We are stewards. We are not owners. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 3. And number 4, be conscious of the law of seed time and harvest. Whatever a man sows, that's what he shall reap. If you sow distrust, that's what you will reap. If you sow crisis, that's what you will reap. Anything you do today awaits you tomorrow. Anything you do today awaits you tomorrow. He that rolleth a stone, the stone will get back to him. He that digger a pit shall fall into it. May your integrity speak for you, now and in the time to come. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't forget, you are only there for now. You will not be there forever. And don't struggle to be there forever. Don't struggle to be there forever. When it is your turn to move, move. If you are moved from a station as a pastor, don't get to your new station and be calling them. So how is the new pastor doing there? Is he keeping to the standard that I left? Is the church growing? You remember the way we were growing the church? Is it still like that? He said, no, sir. I said, okay, we will report to the authority. And if anybody calls you from the station where you are on any issue, tell him to talk to their pastor. Talk to your pastor. I'm no longer there. Praise the Lord. I'm no longer there. And if you served as a member of any statutory body, don't poke nose into that place. If they say you are no longer in any statutory body again, stay where you are. I mean, plenty of things to do, including praying kingdom advancement prayer. Please give God a big hand. Hallelujah. So many things to do. Don't look back. Don't wish or await somebody else's failure. Don't. We've had handing over to people after us. One thing I discover is this. After my exit from any church as a pastor, the incoming pastor just makes the place grow. How? The way I present him. The way I tell the people. This church will grow beyond what we have seen right now. And it works. It works. It works. If you are recommending somebody for a position or for an office, don't do so with the intention that so that when I need anything, it can be my anchorman there. You don't have any anchor man anywhere. Jesus is the anchor man. Please rise to your feet. Let's lift up our hands. Give glory to God again for this moment. Give glory to God again for this moment. In the precious name of Jesus. You like to pray for yourself? Father, preserve my integrity. Help me, Lord, to remain a man of integrity. Help me, Lord, to remain a man of the Spirit. Lord, don't let carnality take over my life. Destroy every form of carnality from me. In the name of Jesus, make me fit, Lord. Sanctify me. Make me fit for the assignment. In the name of Jesus, somebody pray for yourself right now. Pray for yourself right now. Pray for yourself right now. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. Well, we have two more sessions to go tomorrow and by the grace of God on Friday. I hope somebody has enjoyed both yesterday and today's session. Give God a big hand for that. Please keep asking your questions. That's one way we'll promote open accountability. Ask your questions. And whatever answer we have, based on the operation manual, and of course, number one, the Bible, will present it to you as it should be. You are blessed. Lift up your hand, please. Your work shall be rewarded. Your labor shall be rewarded. Your works shall be rewarded. Every secret service you are rendering in the house of the Lord shall be brought to open reward. In the name of the God of this commission, be rewarded. Be rewarded. Be rewarded. If there be anyone serving God here and there is sickness in your body, that sickness is terminated now. Wherever you stand right now, whether in Faith Tabernacle here or in any of the locations, our mission stations across the globe, because you are serving the Lord, you will not suffer sickness. Anyone called barren, you are receiving your fruitfulness. Anyone called jobless, you are receiving your gainful employment. Anyone facing issue of shame and reproach, God is visiting with you. By Shiloh 2021, you are testifying. In Jesus' precious name. Please wave your hand. Let's give thanks to God one more time. Let's give thanks to God one more time. Let's give Him glory and praise.
Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Appreciate God. Bless His holy name. Thank Him for the great privilege that we have had to have such work.